pop music as we head into the 10 o'clock hour. Joe Stazek, D. Lynam, here with you until midnight. Josh Raybeck behind the glass.
It's a cool shift. I like this.
Yeah.
5 hours to let it fly. Enjoy working with you. I should do this more often.
Yeah. And Josh does. I do feel, you saw, I just got a little piece of chocolate out. Because, you know, it's getting a little later.
It's getting a little later.
Right, so then
you gotta keep up.
So then the music pumps you up.
Yeah, good job, Josh.
Yeah. Feed the brain. So we've been discussing, we really have three sports covered, and I should mention, I believe the Flyers have gone across the pond to finish their preseason and start their regular season in Europe.
It seems a little excessive. Going to Europe to play some preseason games?
Oh, well, that part. But the NBA has done this.
I know.
And I cannot believe.
The NFL does it now.
I can't believe how many cities the NBA is this particular year. I was told today, Dubai, India.
Really?
Yes. Last year, the Sixers went to China.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
Some people don't like it for, they think that you, now you get to start earlier. So you can prepare and get people rested.
Yeah.
And there's time in between when you get back before
right.
you have to play. But
sure.
I don't know. I think it's easy to point to that. It's a global world now,
yes,
no matter
is.
The sport.
Sure.
And I think when you have the fans and you're trying to, you know, market and generate money, then you owe it to them to make it a little bit more accessible to the people who support you around the world. So, anyhow, Sixers Media Day got underway today. They will start practice tomorrow. We heard it on one of our last callers, like I think it was Jimmy, Mount Holly, said the expectation. I mean, get to that Eastern Conference Finals and absolutely. And the other would be you'd like to see them in the finals for sure. So I understand that. I think they had similar expectations a year ago because the East looked wide open with the departure of LeBron James. And now, with the departure of Kawhi Leonard, it looks wide open again, and they look like they are two cornerstones who have already been All-Stars, who now are a year older and get it probably better than a year ago. And you've added some really key veteran in Al Horford. And Josh Richardson, nice young player, along with Tobias Harris being a nice young player as well. So expectations for them. The Eagles now are in Jets week. They'll entertain the Jets at the link this week. I think a lot of people feel like it should be a victory. Maybe not as easy as the 14-point spread, but that they could improve to 3-2 against an 0-3 currently Jets team without their starting quarterback, most likely.
Third string quarterback.
So right, the other guy,
Trevor
did he break
Siemian.
His ankle?
Trevor Siemian hurt his ankle.
Yeah.
Done for the year. Done for the year.
Yeah. So they're banged up. And then, of course, waiting on what the Phillies are doing. You know, no matter what, I've never seen, and maybe I just don't pay enough attention to the end of baseball seasons, but at the end of the Sixers season, there's the next day, Brett was there, every player is there, and you put a little bit of a cap on what went down.
Right.
And everybody then leaves for their vacation or their off season, however you want to phrase it. I mean, I didn't see anything today from the Phillies.
No.
Not one.
Didn't see or hear
and
anything.
And they were at home yesterday.
Yes, they were.
So it's not, you know, it's a clean out day is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, don't they do exit interviews?
Yeah. I asked today, and I was told, yes, they do.
Well, then today should have been the day.
Should have been the day.
So maybe you, if you're Matt Klintak, John Middleton, give the manager, if you're going to fire him, usually it should happen right away. Joe Maddon was announced before the game yesterday, before the Cubs game, that he wasn't coming back. They might be giving him that one day to do the exit interviews and then fire him. If they're going to fire him, I don't think they are.
Well, that was the big thing with Brett in each of the last 2 years when people thought that was going to be
it. Yeah.
You don't do the exit interviews if you're not coming back.
Right. Of course not.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're done.
So that would be my one thing. And the thing with Joe Maddon, where the one caller, remember, we didn't really get to talk because we were up against it, but he said, isn't it ironic that the Angels, who got rid of Brad Ausmus, if I'm, I hope I'm saying his last
yeah,
name
are.
Properly, after just 1 year, and instantly, I mean, I saw it on TV, Twitter, you know, the top candidate became Joe Maddon. Did that have a conversation to lead to quick reaction by both of those teams to make their current
it's
decisions?
It's very possible, yeah.
Possible.
You know?
I did read where, and it's was from a writer, so I don't think it was tongue-in-cheek, that Joe and Theo Epstein had a bottle of wine the night before, discussed, and to part our ways at this time is the right time.
Why? Well, I mean, did he all of a sudden in the last 3 years become a bad manager? His team, it was in my article today, but by the way, it's not posted yet. I hope it's posted tomorrow morning. But, you know, players win and lose you games, and I think the manager maybe takes too much heat for losing. Won a World Series, first one since 1908, and all of a sudden, what? He can't manage anymore? You know, I know it happens. It happens all the time. It happened to Charlie. I mean, Charlie, you know,
yeah, sure.
With all his success at the end of the day, wasn't working out. They got rid of him. But I would hope.
I mean, after firing him or letting him go, I guess it doesn't, because his contract was up
right.
With Joe Maddon. I mean, I did hear Theo, who's the club's general manager, say, I hope this guy gets another job. He says he wants to manage for at least 3 more years, because I do believe he's 68.
And he's getting up there.
Yeah. So, but I mean, nothing like having the guy that just decided you weren't right for here, then out there publicly saying, I hope he gets another job.
Yeah.
Because he deserves one. That doesn't add up to
it. Doesn't add up.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope that the Phillies had a conversation about it. You know, if they're going to keep Gabe, I would hope that they discussed other options. You know what I'm saying? It's only prudent to discuss your options, and if you want to stick with Gabe, fine, but there's Joe Girardi's out there, Joe Maddon's now out there.
I will tell you this. I cannot see this city accepting somebody who has not been a manager previously.
Right.
At this point. Because that's what Gabe was. And even if there is a different personality out there, it would be very, very hard to sell your fan base on an unproven, unknown guy out there. Even if he is the next up and coming, it'd be too hard to sell it to them.
You know, the Dodgers were looking at Gabe Kapler before they hired Roberts, and Clayton Kershaw, this is not known very well, wasn't publicized very much, but he went to management and said, if Gabe Kapler's the manager, I want to be traded.
Whoa.
I want to be traded, yeah. He obviously didn't like that direction.
Oh, because that's where Cap had worked.
Yes.
In the Dodgers
that's exactly
organization.
Right. Yep, if you
so
make him the manager,
so
I'm
it's
out.
Not somebody coming from left field.
Right.
I mean, he had some experience.
Yes, he did.
And so, well, I mean, I'm not saying that's the right decision to listen to, except for one thing. That guy's pretty important.
Pretty important is
pretty
right,
important.
I think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, you don't want the inmates running the
asylum,
right,
but at the end of the day, you know,
you got to keep some people happy.
There's different rules for different players.
Yes. All right, let's check in with Greg in Ashland. Greg, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, how you doing today?
If you could turn your radio down, that would help us.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, how you doing, bud?
All right, man.
My complaints about Gabe Kapler. I mean, you know, I watch the baseball games, and you know, I mean, you know, when you're in tight games, you know, with the way they played during the course of the year, I mean, I can understand, you know, having the injuries that they had. But on the other hand, I mean, you know, when the games, you know, different games, I mean, I don't see Gabe Kapler playing small ball. I mean, I've seen so many times where he should have pinched hit, you know, bunted people up to second base when, you know, and also, you know, I mean, you know, when you see these things, it's like, you know, he's not really concerned. He just, every game I watch Gabe Kapler, he just sits there and he chews bubble gum at the top of the steps. And, I mean, you know, for me, you know, baseball-wise, I just don't think that he's manager-wise, you know. I mean, I think, you know, now with Joe Maddon being on the market, I think the Phillies should make it, you know, a thing. And not only that, but, I mean, you know, Reese Hoskins, I mean, here's a guy, you know, you have coaching staff, and you know, he's doing nothing but reaching for the stars. You mean, I've seen him, you know, watch good pitches go by, and he's swinging at stuff that's terrible.
Well, Greg, let me ask you something. If Joe Maddon was given the team that Gabe Kapler was given this year, do you think they'd be much better off?
Well, let me also tell you this. I mean, you know, I mean, they finished 81-81. I mean, I think there was a difference that, you know, maybe 10, 15 games that they should have won that they didn't. And, you know, I mean, them games that they could have won, I mean, you know, they possibly could have had a wild card or maybe even won the division themselves.
But were those losses all attributed to Kapler?
No, because like I told you, I mean, I think that, you know, he wasn't, you know, it's not all his fault. But I think there's a lot of it that's his fault.
Okay. I mean, you know, the fans are, I think, in the majority.
You know, Gabe, I just do not believe that Gabe Kapler is the right man for this job. I mean, Charlie Manuel, you know, I mean, I watched him after they hired him back as the hitting coach. I mean, you know, that guy, you know, sat there and shook his head. How many times, you know? I mean, you know, he brings up situations where, I mean, he's pitching utility players. I mean, I've seen that when I was a kid, you know, once or twice. But, I mean, you know, I've seen that a handful of times as, you know, as the season gone on. You know, I mean, what is that?
I appreciate the phone call. I will say this. There is nothing wrong, and I think there are people out there, Joe, that would question his decision-making at times, and it's heavily influenced by analytics. But his in-game decision-making did make people often shake their head. Not just this year, last year. Yeah, question. Like, what are you doing? And I think that's fair for them to say, does he, because it's so in the numbers. His decisions in a game look like they are all about the numbers.
Well, he's an analytics guy.
Which, by the way, I was told that Joe Maddon, before analytics was as popular as now, he was an analytics guy in Tampa Bay.
Joe Maddon was?
Yeah.
How about that? That was a while ago.
Yeah. People don't realize that, but...
Yeah, he does a lot by analytics. He does some by feel and a lot by analytics, and people don't always like that, but that's the way it is these days. Listen, Doug Peterson does things by analytics, you know, with his aggressiveness or...
Yeah, his fourth down.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Now, here's why I think he deserves another year. Can I read an excerpt from my article?
Sure.
All right. You know, consider this. Four of his starting pitchers missed time this year due to injury. Not his fault. And including Jake Arrieta, who was shut down because of an elbow injury. Rhys Hoskins had an awful year. Starting pitching compiled a record of 41-42. This is the one that I think is amazing. It blows my mind. 42 times this year, his starting pitcher did not make it to the fifth inning. Did not make it to the fifth inning.
Okay, but some of that is on Gabe.
Why?
Because he would make a decision. I know.
Oh, you mean too early to pull?
Too early to pull. I'm just saying. I know. Okay. I know for sure he did it with Aaron Nola early on, and I remember we were all shaking our head.
Oh, that was the first game. That was awful.
Yeah.
He had a shutout going. They ended up losing
the
game. Yeah.
So
his bullpen was decimated by injuries. He lost two of his starting outfielders, including McCutchen. And his general manager gave him guys, you know, bench guys to the likes of, but not limited to, Logan Morrison, Jose Perella, Sean Rodriguez, Nick Vincent, Jared Hughes, Drew Smiley. I mean, he wasn't given a ton to work with.
You didn't put Bruce's name in there.
What's that?
You didn't put
Jay Bruce? No, I like Jay Bruce.
I know. I'm saying if Klintak gave him those, he did.
Yeah, he did. He gave him Jay Bruce. Yeah. And I like what he did last offseason.
Right.
I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I gave him kudos, you know. Yeah. They got five All-Stars now on the team, but they didn't perform like All-Stars. And I wouldn't put that on Klintak. I wouldn't put it on Gabe. What I do put on Klintak is his miscalculation of the pitching staff coming into the year. He thought that they were going to take the next step and the young pitchers would develop and everything would be cool, and it was a disaster.
I guess if you are going to just stay status quo, then I need a setting where McPhail, Klintak, and Kapler sit up and field questions and offer accountability for where they are and then a plan of how they're getting out of it. And when I say accountability, I also need that general manager to say that to the manager, you know, Gabe, you do what I did not like recently, the last time Klintak spoke.
Yeah.
He said that Gabe had done more than a very good job. I think that's overstating it.
It is overstating.
That's overstating it.
Yep.
And so I don't need you.
That's his guy, though. He's selling his
but
guy.
But you can't kiss each other's rear ends.
They do.
I know, but my point is not when you're 81 and 81.
Right.
Okay? So I need him to say, you know, this guy is my guy. We acknowledge that we've made mistakes. I've made mine in the front office. I didn't give him enough horses. He made some with decision makings that we've talked about. And then, you know, at least give a couple examples. People like examples.
Honesty.
Honesty.
That's why I think they don't like Gabe. The fan base doesn't like Gabe because of his ridiculous post-game press conferences where he doesn't criticize anybody. And it could be in
Criticizing the people who ask the questions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly.
He can't criticize one guy in his locker room or say they played poorly.
Never says that.
Not even criticize.
Never.
It was poor.
People want to hear that. But
he will jump a reporter.
They want to hear you pissed off after a loss, not everything coming up roses and lollipops. And I think that really bothers the fan base.
It does.
Andy Reid when he used to say, I got to do a better job. How old did that get? Couldn't stand it. And that's why some people turn on Andy Reid. You know, I don't necessarily judge guys. I don't judge guys at all by what they say, but I can see where it would get under the fan base's skin because they weren't performing. If they're performing and there were some losses here and there, okay, whatever. You know, you're a positive guy.
There's plenty of them out there that, and when I say plenty of them being coaches, managers, leaders of teams, that you don't like their rhetoric.
Right.
But they're not all the same, and you do the best you can if you cover them to try to get information that helps the fan base get answers to their questions.
Conduit to the fan base.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right, exactly.
But they make it tough.
They make it tough.
Andy Reid, that 4-second soundbite, you know, it was hard to do a story every week when you have the same thing.
Yeah.
Come on, Pig Red, give me something. Nothing.
By the way, speaking of 4-second soundbite, Josh, can I have Ben Simmons, please?
He's got it.
It's just a part of the game, so if it's open, I'll take it.
Thank you. The question...
You blinked, you missed it.
You know, you think that things have changed, and very little has. It's been a topic that Ben Simmons never really has enjoyed talking about, and that is his jump shot, or lack thereof. So that was his answer today, that... if it's open, I'll take it. And so we'll see. Can you imagine? I actually saw The Athletic did a really cool, they had writers who cover, and they did by division. So I read the Atlantic Division version of it. And so they had writers from the other teams, like the beat writers from the other team, asked them some questions about their own team, but some about other teams in the division.
Yeah.
One was, how many threes will Ben Simmons make? And the guy, it was either the guy who covers the Nets or the Celtics. It was one of the two of them.
Okay.
It wasn't the Raptors. And the guy said 15. He's going to make 15
threes. He's going to make 15?
Make 15 threes.
He's not going to shoot 15 threes.
Oh, yes, he will.
You think he's going to shoot threes?
Oh, he is.
Really?
Oh, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see
that he makes 15, I thought was an aggressive number.
That's high.
Yeah. But share with the folks. I showed you his half-court shooting.
It was pretty
against
good.
Against his trainer, Chris Hines. And Chris made some, too. Yeah, exactly.
Both of them.
I noticed that Chris goes more for the banking in, which is a technique of people who do make half-court shots.
Right, exactly.
Usually use the glass.
Sure.
Now, isn't it funny? Ben didn't.
He swished for the most part.
Yeah, the ones that
it was
he
impressive.
Made.
It really was.
Yeah.
And I don't care if, you know, you took 40 shots and you only made four. It's still pretty impressive to
see it go in.
To see it go in. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah, it was cool.
Absolutely. So I'm going to tell you that he's going to be asked. He's already been asked by Brett. He's going to be asked to shoot that corner three.
And really?
If they give it to him, because what he'll want to do, because they're going to send him to the corner. And if you give him the ball and he has a guy coming at him, I mean, downhill, take him baseline, absolutely. But what Brett anticipates is going to happen is they're going to give him the space that we've seen for the last two years, and he's going to take that corner three.
Dare him to hit the three.
And he's going to take it. And they're putting him in the corner because it's the highest percentage three-point shot.
Is that right?
There is.
Because, okay.
Yes, it is. And that's statistically been proven.
I want to see it. Yeah. So give me a number. What do you think in terms of ballpark, how many threes he takes this year?
Can I do it on the other side? Because I'm going to do some math in my head.
You can do whatever you want.
No, I'm going to have a number for you.
Okay.
At first I said 15 made seems aggressive. But if he's going to take the number that I think he's going to, I'm going to see what that fact, what that comes
how many,
out.
What the percentage is.
What the percentage. So okay. I have got my calculator.
All right.
All right. 610-632-0975. Jerry, we want to give you your full time. So we're going to talk to you on the other side. But we'll talk about Gabe Kapler. We are talking about the Sixers. And, of course, if you have a thought about the Eagles and their next four games, because it's the Jets at home and then a pretty
rough.
Not the worst part of this. Not the most difficult part of the schedule.
No, the most difficult comes right after this.
That. But these are three challenging.
Yeah.
Could be, if you don't come prepared and you don't bring your A game all the way around, you could be in trouble on the road.
Yes, you can.
In all three, in any one of the three.
Yep.
If not, you know, all of them. So if you have thoughts on that, please weigh in. And I do want to know your Sixers expectations for the upcoming years. 610-632-0975. Joe Stazak, D-Line, I'm right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Monday night here at 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line and Joe Stazak with you until midnight. And so far on this day, the day after the Philly season ended with a 4-3 loss to the Marlins, which in a way, Joe, I have to say, because I said this yesterday or maybe the day before, when they had won those two games, the first two games of the series against the Marlins, a team that had owned them and should not have owned them.
Yeah.
Those were critical losses.
Critical
at
losses.
Times
yep.
Throughout that season. I didn't want them to, okay, so if you sweep this series, too much emotion, like riding high into the offseason to not remember how did you get here and fail expectations. So it's not like I was wishing them ill will. I just didn't want it to warp what needs to be looked at because you had a high moment at the end of the season when you're out of the wild card and you finally beat a team that had owned you. I mean, didn't own them, but it had been under 500 against them prior to that.
Well,
so
I actually rooted against them down the stretch. I don't want it to look like it was a real positive season. I want them to.
You must be honest about it.
Be honest about it, exactly. So 81-81 after being over 500 for like the entire season.
Give and the number again, 16-37 down
since
the stretch.
August 7th.
Yep.
That's terrible. That's terrible. You know, it's not
that's
quite
tanking.
Last year, but that's tanking. That is tanking. So, It was a bad job, and 81-81 is probably about right for this team. Not a playoff team. You can, your eyes tell you that.
Yep.
You can just tell by watching them. They're not a playoff team.
No, they aren't. Let's check in with Jerry, who's in Philly. Jerry, thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, D.I. Joe?
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Gabe Kapler, they don't respect him in that locker room. And I'm going to give you a clear reason why. A couple months ago, he was on the other station when McCutcheon got hurt. And they asked him, why didn't you bench Segura after he didn't run out that fly ball? Because it kind of caused McCutcheon to get hurt and get caught in that rundown. And he said, well, what is that going to do if I bench my best player? What is that going to do for a team? I said, I don't know, maybe send a message that, hey, guys, even if you're the best player, you're not above the team. You're not above me. I say what goes on here. He's just too soft. He's too soft of a guy. He's out of touch with the city. They need to find somebody that's better. And you said that if Joe Maddon was here with the stuff that they had, would he have turned it around? I have a lot more confidence in Joe Maddon turning it around than I do with Gabe Kapler. He's just too happy with everything. I can't deal with that. I think you need results. And he has yet to show any as a manager and as a leader of a team.
See, I think these players love him. I think his players love him.
because he lets them do whatever they want.
Well, whatever the reason. Can I read a quote real quick? This was from Bryce Harper after yesterday's game. It hasn't been his fault. Harper said he had some tough decisions he had to make bullpen-wise, lineup-wise, not having your leadoff guy, not having your setup guy, things like that. A lot of guys have been thrown into the fire this year from AA and AAA. It's just how the season goes. It's part of it. We're going to build on that next year, hopefully. I love our staff. I enjoy our staff. I enjoy playing for our staff. They've made me better each day, and I appreciate that. That's coming from your main guy. He loves him.
Right. Bryce Harper, well, you know, Bryce Harper is getting paid $30 million a year. He'll love anybody they put him in, right?
And he's not the one who didn't perform. He had 35 home runs at 114 RBI, and he had a high, I think, did he bat 370? 378, did I read?
Batting average?
Yeah.
370?
That's what I think I saw.
No, he batted 259.
Oh, then yeah, what well, was yeah. what was three? What number up there is 37? Something was 37. I'll get it. It was in the paper this morning.
Or OBS.
OBS.
Oh,
OBS.
Thank you.
But no, you know, one more point about them, and I'm just gonna make my quick Sixers point. But I was gonna say, like Harper will say that, but last week didn't he say a quote saying, "Well, he's still our manager right now, so if something needs to change, I'm all ears." It's kind of a quick turnaround from what he said last week. It seemed as though he didn't give him a resounding endorsement last week, but this week he's like, well, you know, it wasn't his fault and all that. Nah, I don't want to hear that, man. I've heard enough of that from players. I've heard enough of that. But anyway, yeah, my Sixers point. You said that Ben would shoot 15 threes?
No, I said the guy in the article said he would make 15 threes.
I got a better chance of getting a date with Kim Kardashian than Ben Simmons making 15 threes.
I'm with you, Jer. But,
I disagree with Jerry. Jerry, you got no shot. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know you, and I don't know your lengths that you could make that happen. Reaching out to Kim. I'm going to say this only because I think he is going to take them. He's only taken 18 to date in his 2 years, and that includes one in the playoffs last year. I'm going to say that he actually shoots 95.
Mm-hmm. 95 three-pointers.
Yep.
All right, I'll believe it when I see it. And I'd love to see him knock some of those long bombs down, and he looks good, you know, on these videos that he's sending out, but it's different when you're playing against NBA players who are long, lengthy, fast, and, you know, can get in your face quickly.
I mean, you do realize when he rises up, and he should be able to see 6'11".
Yeah.
You know,
yep,
I mean,
you're right.
For instance, I cannot wait to see who Boston, how they guard these perimeter guys opening night. I mean, who's Kemba stopping? You should rise up and shoot over him, whoever he's on.
Yeah. But can they make those shots? They can, but are you confident they're gonna shoot?
I don't know.
Well enough to kind of fill the void that JJ left and be a guy or two guys that's, you know, like other teams have snipers. Like, look at Portland's backcourt. obviously Golden State, today State's backcourt, although they're, you know, an anomaly. I don't see that. So I have to see this before I believe it. I still think last year's team has the edge in talent. And I think another year with that whole team together and they would be in the conference finals. I'm not so sure this team is going to go to the conference finals.
They can't wait that long, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I am being aggressive with the 95 because DeMar DeRozan only shot 45 threes last year. That's a low. I mean, he had developed his three-point shot with Toronto that previous year, but he only put up 45 last year.
He's got to be much more confident this year if they're going to let him take threes, because I think he was completely not confident in his shooting and his shot, didn't want to embarrass himself. So it would be quite a transformation in one summer if he comes out knocking down threes.
I didn't say 95 is only taking, on average, one.
Yeah,
and then
basically.
13 extra for the year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that they will make an honest effort to make him have to be guarded out there. And in doing so, he will be helping his teammates.
Yeah. Again, I'd like to see it.
And I think the difference with a DeMar DeRozan or even the person who brought up how Jimmy Butler attempted per game fewer threes than Al Horford, first of all, it's 0.03. That's less than what Al did. And the other part would be in a DeMar and a Jimmy Butler, these are two pretty strong, prolific mid-range jumper guys that in a dying breed, those two are still allowed to shoot two-point shots that are away from the basket.
Yeah, you don't see that much anymore.
No, because the analytics tell you
take the three.
Take the three.
Yep.
But there are a couple of them that have been so good at the mid-range. DeMar and Jimmy Butler would be in that category.
Kawhi can do both. He did a lot of the mid-range last year, too.
And did it in the playoffs.
That's what I mean.
Because if they run you off the line.
That's what I mean.
Right. And Giannis said, I got to get to that. I was that a year ago. Then I did only threes. And then when I was run off the three in the postseason because I hadn't shot any of those mid-range or hadn't taken myself to do that in the regular season, he shot poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, they tanked.
Yeah.
They had a two-game lead. 2-0 over Toronto and got swept after that.
By the way, I saw a graphic and it had the changes that Milwaukee had, you know, and then it had what they got and what they've lost.
Right.
They did not mention on what they lost Brook Lopez.
Really?
As being, I mean, I'm sure it was a...
Had to be an oversight.
Because they did get Robin Lopez. Right, so it had to be an oversight because they saw that.
I would think so, yeah.
Right.
Has to
because
be.
That's a huge loss.
Huge loss.
Definitely a different, they're two totally different players.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers, yes, but totally different. So anyhow, I thought that was interesting that did not. I got news for you. Milwaukee may not be as good as they were last year.
Why do you say?
I'm a big Brogdon fan.
Okay.
And Malcolm's gone.
That's right. You're right about that.
Malcolm's in Indiana.
Yep.
You sign Middleton. I do like Giannis, obviously.
Yep.
You now have Robin Lopez. Kyle Korver's there. I'm missing somebody else they got. I just don't feel like it's strong enough. And is that just because of Malcolm? Maybe. I mean, their 1-2
punch.
That's
a big loss.
Their 1-2 punch is definitely Giannis and the outside shooting of Chris Middleton.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think they'll be good. You know, I think it's going to be them, the Sixers, obviously, and probably Boston. I like the Sixers over Boston. I don't know if I like them over Milwaukee yet. Again, I have to see. I need a sample. I need a sample of how they play together.
I told you I saw something from Markelle Fultz,
who, by the way,
is going to be ready to go in training camp and play.
I don't believe it.
That's what they say.
I don't believe it.
You really don't?
No. If they say that, then he's going to do that.
You know, they sent out the Orlando Magic, put out a hype video of him a couple days ago. I call it a hype video.
How'd they find enough footage?
It's He was in a gym. It looked a lot like some of the videos we've seen of some of the Sixers this
How about
summer.
That? Yeah. All right. So all of a sudden...
You can find a gym and shoot some video, and next thing you know, you see a healthy-looking guy.
It'd be unbelievable if he turns into a star.
I didn't say...
What's that?
I don't think he's going to be a star.
I don't either.
I do think he's NBA talent.
Oh, I think
but
so,
But I'm not
yeah.
sure if his head can be in the right place.
Yeah, his head is... Something's wrong up top. Something's wrong up top there.
It's true. All right, I'm going to find it. It came from Media Day with him. Oh, I do have it. I'll read it and then get your reaction when we return.
Yeah.
Okay, so, reporter Markell, you have a lot of haters on Twitter. Fultz, yeah, mostly Sixers fans who are mad at me for the terrible job management has done on trades. Reporter, do you wish they would shut up already? Fultz, I'll make them starting on October 5th.
How about that?
Now, I went and saw, is this person legit? And it isn't, it's from Media Day.
Sure.
Now, did he stretch the truth there? I don't know. But there are other people who comment about, like, you know, Fultz, who's going to have more of a shot, Fultz or Ben Simmons? You know, so the conversation was happening there. But
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they do play, and they do play Orlando in the preseason.
Okay.
Second game of the preseason.
I am interested to see how Markelle Fultz comes out and how he plays and how he shoots, because to me that was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He just forgot how to shoot, and was there really an injury in the shoulder? Did it have to do with both of those things? I don't know, but it was just unbelievable.
It is. I will say this: at a time when you got a Jimmy Butler. Kudos to Elton Brand to know he had to move on.
He was huge.
And a lot of people wouldn't have, because they're invested in a number one, not
right.
just a first round
right.
pick,
the
not a top
one pick.
10,
yeah.
number one overall.
Yeah, I think
you traded up to get
it. I know. Gave up, what, a first round for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or what did he give up? What did they give up to get to move up?
Well, they swapped and a first round.
And a first round pick, right?
Yeah.
I think Elton Brand's done a phenomenal job.
He really has.
Mm-hmm.
610-632-0975. Joe Stazak, D. Lineham. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
All right, I got to give a shout out to our loyal friend Philly, who corrected me. The reason that Brooke Lopez wasn't
because they resigned him.
They resigned him.
Mm-hmm.
So they have both Lopez's on that Milwaukee. Well, that would explain their depth. Actually, is better than I was giving it credit. Milwaukee. Not only do they have both Lopez's, Giannis's brother signed also.
Giannis's brother?
Yeah.
Is he any good?
Antetokounmpo. He ain't Giannis.
He ain't Giannis.
He's not Giannis.
What position?
And I'll give you his height. He's 6'7", small forward.
Okay.
So he's definitely, because they have Giannis listed at 6'11". I believe I saw this, unless it's the younger of the even younger guy. I believe I saw this one in the G League last year. I'll have to double check,
okay.
But I'm pretty sure. But I forgot. They have Eric Bledsoe. We'll see how our Villanova friend, DiVincenzo. They have George Hill, who I love. I love George Hill for depth purposes. And he helped them out initially in their series with Toronto, calming things down.
Right, sure.
Ersan Ilyasova went back there.
I'm
a big Ersan guy. Kyle Korver. Now, many people, but he can still make a shot.
Make a shot.
Yeah.
I think he's played for every team.
And obviously, Chris Middleton, he's actually the highest paid on this roster because he got the new deal, and it's $30 million a year. Giannis is at 25.
Wow.
And Wesley Matthews is one that I like. He can make a shot. He's quite often hurt the Sixers. I've been there for that, especially when he played in Portland. So I can see why they think they like Malcolm Brogdon was a big loss, but that's pretty good depth.
Good squad.
Yeah.
I think that's a good squad.
That's a good squad, and that's what the Sixers will be going up against in terms of the Eastern Conference. Now, again, I probably shouldn't completely write off Toronto, but the loss of a Kawhi and a Danny Green.
They're done.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they're done. They're done when Kawhi left. Yeah. Got him a ring, though. Got him a ring.
Masai Ujiri, I didn't get to listen to it, but he was asked that question on a podcast, like, knowing that it was a one and done, would you still have done it?
Of course.
Absolutely.
You won a championship.
You're
what do
on
you mean,
the mat,
would I
dude.
Still do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You build a championship roster, and now, you know.
Championships are hard to win.
They are hard to win.
Take it.
Yeah. So on the Markelle Fultz part of it.
Yeah.
I wanted to see, because then I just got released, the Orlando Magic men, they're big into releasing these videos.
Okay.
But he's very prominent in there, because, you know, they do have Vucevic, they have Aaron Gordon, and they, the way they did this video, they consider him like a prominent piece.
Sure.
Now, whether that comes to fruition, I don't know.
I'm really interested to see how he plays this year. Mm-hmm. Really interested. My head's going to explode if he's like a 23-point-a-game guy.
On a bad team, though?
On a bad team. I don't know. That's hard to call.
Because they're going to be a young team. I just gave you the two pieces that I always liked Vucevic. And
yeah, that was Sixers blew that, didn't they? With Vucevic?
Yeah,
I forget the situation.
The situation was a man named Andrew Bynum.
Oh, God. That's right. That's right. They gave him up in the trade. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
But he's gone on to have a nice career in Orlando.
He's had a real nice career. Yeah.
He's a double-double guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a given. So, anyhow, we'll see. But I will... He more than others that have left here, I will definitely look and pay attention
sure.
to what... One, if he's playing, mm-hmm. number one... And two, how much is he playing?
Right.
Fultz.
And can he shoot?
The thing is, you know what? He's a pretty good playmaker.
He is.
They'll be interested to see how they use him. And you know, that guy coaches down there is Steve Clifford, I do believe.
Oh, okay.
Which is Brett Brown's buddy.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe a new environment changes that for him.
I wish him well. I don't wish negative things on him. He's a good kid. He just had some problems, had some issues.
I did just see he let... I know who it was. Do you remember the name Caron Butler?
Yes.
Caron Butler started a production company. It's kind of his version of the Players Tribune, but a video standard.
Okay.
And Fultz was one of the guys. He went into his home, it's him and his mom, and in Washington this summer, and he kind of did like a documentary piece on, and he felt like there were a number of things that were hard. First of all, he wasn't considered a great player coming out of high school.
Who, Butler?
But Fultz.
Fultz.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And a friendship took him to Washington and his loyalty to friendship.
Okay.
But it was an interesting piece to watch because it made me realize how young.
Was it like following him around?
All in his house.
A day in the life?
Okay. And Caron, actually, I believe it was him asking the question. He produced it.
Right.
And so it was him going into... He's also the one who asked him. He was working for TNT when TNT did a game, and I forget what Fultz said. It was in our building.
Right.
And he said it to Caron, and he hadn't spoken to any media. And it kind of set things off. That was right after that was when he didn't play anymore because the shoulder was...
Right, hurt. Okay. Yeah, how about that?
There's always something connected that gets things started.
Aye.
Yes. 610-632-0975. Let's listen to Joel Embiid, and he has goals for himself and the team this season.
That's winning a championship, obviously. We had that opportunity, you know, going into this year. Really won that number one seed. That team success also helps me when it comes to my goal. And, you know, it's Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. I know that if I got to win at least 60 games, and I know it's going to put me in a better situation when it comes to, like, other things. So that's what I'm focused on.
So 60 wins for the team,
yep.
The number one seed in the conference.
I'll take it.
I mean, he starts it all off with winning the championship.
Winning the championship.
Which he should. Defensive Player of the Year. And he does believe that Defensive Player of the Year and MVP are directly attached to you being available.
Right. Right.
And he knows that.
Of course,
right.
Yeah.
And so that's why he has his intentions. If he stays healthy, he thinks he can play 70 games.
70 games. Again, that's one I have to see to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's injury prone, and there's some things that have happened. But
I think last year was 61. Does that sound? I'm ballpark.
61, 63. You're close.
Yeah.
You might have it right.
So we'll see. And the one thing I would like to see him avoid is missing 14 in a row.
Right.
The long stretch like that can't happen.
Kills them.
Yeah.
Kills them.
Kills the momentum. Now, you do have an insurance policy that's so much better than what you've had in the past.
Oh, yeah, big time.
In Al Horford. That's being able to step in and play the five.
Which is great, because you know what happens when Embiid's on the bench. So having Horford there, I mean, there's a little bit of a drop-off, but seasoned veteran, guy who hates to lose, can play, can shoot. I'm elated they have Al Horford.
Yes.
Elated. Great pickup.
Probably there could eventually, or at least for this year I'm talking about, not long term, because a Tobias or a Josh has so much growing they can still do at 26 years old.
Yeah.
Over the course of their contracts that they could be. But Horford for this year, probably the most important addition after losing a Butler and a JJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And his influence on Embiid. And I did like that he was asked about that. He's like, look, these guys know what needs to be done. I don't have to come in here and start spouting words to them. But I do think Embiid now, for the first time as a Sixer, has another talented big man in the gym with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not been the case.
No, has not at all.
Right. And on top of it, they hired Roy Hibbert.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Because they do a lot now where they use those development coaches to go up against, like, one-on-one with people, whether it's even guys coming off like a JJ last year where you bump them coming off of the screen so he gets used to the physical.
Yeah, sure.
And so they use these kind of guys. And with Embiid, I'm guarantee you they'll be using a Roy Hibbert with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So 610-632-0975. Sixers Media Day. Season just around the corner, October 23rd against the Boston Celtics. And while they're getting started, the Phillies are winding down. We'll talk about all that on the other side. D-Line and Joe Stazak with you until midnight here on this Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.